Wow. When I get introduced like that, I don't know what to do with that. I love Pastor Kenny and Carla and known them for so many years. And I remember 30-plus years when we first came to Hagerstown, we started attending Pastor Kenny's church. And we've been more than just friends. I consider them like family, so I thank God for them. Yes, I haven't been traveling to other countries because of the pandemic that's going on out there, and they just closed up the nation of Africa for 42 days, and this Friday will be the 42nd day. Cuba, you can't even contact them anymore. The government has just shut all communications from the United States to them, and vice versa. And there's so many countries that we're in touch with, and we're still helping the Navajo Reservation, the ministry that you've gone to. We help them financially. We try to send them much as we can to these countries. But we thank God that we know that the day is coming that we'll be able to travel again and minister to pastors. I ministered, I held pastors' conferences on Zoom in Africa, in India, and different places like that, and what a joy it is to speak with them on Zoom. I've been asked several times, what do I think about the pandemic in the world? What is God up to? What is God after in the church today in the midst of pandemic? How long do you think this is going to last? Do you think there's going to be a cure soon? Of course, I do not have the answers to any of those questions, and nobody on the face of the earth has that answer. But this I do know. Listen to me. God has pushed the big reset button. And that's the title of my message. God has pushed the big reset button. Changes have taken place all around the world. Only a mighty God can get the attention of the world. Sometimes there are things in the natural world that send spiritual messages out. If we're not careful, we'll miss it. This is one message that the Lord wants us to grasp with all our hearts, and it's this one. Jesus Christ is coming soon, and he's getting his bride, the church, ready for his final entrance. Could it be that God is asking the church in this season of hardship to fill our spiritual reserves? I see in Scripture a few things we could reflect on regarding God's will for us personally during this pandemic. For example, Jesus spoke about the importance of the parable, of having enough oil. There were five virgins in the parable in Matthew chapter 25. Make sure they had enough oil for their lamps. By the way, oil is the symbol of the Holy Spirit, God's blessings and anointing. While the five foolish ones were not prepared, they were locked out of the wedding feast because they did not consider oil an essential commodity. Right now, during this pandemic, God has hit a reset button because he wants us to be ready for what is coming to the earth. We have been much like the foolish virgins. The oil in the Holy Spirit in a lot of churches has not been important to them. We can take it or leave it. We do not think that we need God's supernatural power because we have technology. We have comfortable church buildings, economic prosperity. We have eloquent preachers and slick contemporary worship. The bottom line is, in a lot of churches, we figured out a way to do church without God's help. We even have books and we have church growth gurus to teach us how to manufacture a cool vibe. Entertain people for 60 minutes and get them out quickly. Revivalist A.W. Tozer said it this way. If the Holy Spirit was withdrawn from the church today, 95% of what we do will go on and no one will know the difference. There are a lot of churches that are playing games today, but God is serious. Many churches are devoid of the Holy Spirit's raw power. Conversions are rare. Baptismal tanks are dry. Altars are empty. We do not hear many testimonies of healings today. And how long has it been since someone was free from a demon possession? Our processed version of Christianity does not resemble the book of Acts. This must change. This must change. This must change. What if God wants to send a global awakening of the Holy Spirit during the coronavirus pandemic? Do we have enough oil in our lamps to handle the next revival? Here are things you should do immediately to prepare your heart for what is coming. You can write this down. We must pray for a spiritual reset. When the pandemic started in March 2020, my preaching, the traveling schedule all got canceled then. And boy, did I have a busy season, but then I slowed down, of course. I wanted to continue to pursue personal revival in my life. Reading about the early church has stoked my hunger for God even more. Listen, I do not want to settle for anything less than a New Testament revival. The book of Acts is still God's template for how he works. That's the blueprint. And we need to adjust our lives for it. Whenever God is about to do a new thing, listen, he recalibrates us so we do not go back to our old ways. He cannot put new wine into old wineskins. He needs to restructure us. The way we used to do things in the past years will not work this year. God is doing a new thing with his church, with his people. We need to ask God to trim away the dead branches of stale religion in your life and in the church. Can we say amen to that? Seek a refilling. Dependence on the Holy Spirit was the early church's secret. The Spirit anointed the first disciples to heal the sick, discern evil spirits, and carry the gospel boldly to difficult places. How did we ever think we can do ministry without that power? When Paul went to Ephesus, he met some men who believed in Jesus in an intellectual way. Yet they had never been born again. In fact, they didn't know there was a Holy Spirit, according to Acts chapter 19, verse 1 through 7. This reminds me of a lot of American churches I have been to. We go through the motions of church, but we are clueless about the day of Pentecost. I've said this before again. Now is the time to ask him to fill you to the brim. What does God expect from the church? Let me go over that a little bit. God desires to refine and prune us. What did the Apostle Paul rejoice about? Let me read 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 2 through 10. Let me break this down for you. Paul said, I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up into the third heaven. Whether it was in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know the body, I do not know, but God knows, was caught up to paradise and heard inexpressible things, things that no one is permitted to tell. I will boast about a man like that, but I will not boast about myself, except about my weaknesses. If there was a man in Scripture that could boast about his accomplishments, it was Paul. But yet he chose to boast about his weaknesses. He continues, even if I should choose to boast, I would not be a fool, because I would be speaking the truth. But I refrain so no one will think more of me than what is warranted by what I do or say, or because of these surpassingly great revelations. Therefore, in order to keep me from becoming conceited, I was given a thorn, or we could say today, pandemic. In my flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me. Are you feeling tormented by the pandemic? I am. 3 times I pleaded with the Lord to take it away from me, but he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect. How is it made perfect? In my weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more gladly about what, Paul? My weaknesses. Why? And I love this part. I have this underlined in my Bible because it's so powerful. Why do I boast about my weaknesses? So that the power of Christ may rest on me. The power of Christ cannot rest on proud people. Or people think that they know what they're going through or what they're doing. The power of Christ will rest upon our weaknesses. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight. What do you delight in, Paul? In weaknesses, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. Do you think the pandemic is giving you difficulties? For when I am weak, then I am strong. James 1:2 said it also this way. Consider it a great joy. What's that, Paul? What do you want us to consider today a great joy? My brothers and sisters, when you experience various trials. But verse 3 of that particular chapter gives us the purpose and the possibility of the pandemic. Why? Because you know that the testing of your faith produces endurance. Endurance. During the season of the pandemic, do you think your faith is being tested? You better believe it. I need to underscore a foundational fact. Something you're going to be shocked that I'm going to tell you right now. But I got to tell you this. God's goal is not to make you happy. God's goal is to make you like His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, I need to repeat that again. God's goal is not to make sure you're happy. Can we say amen to that? God's goal is to make you more like His Son, Jesus. And He's going to do certain things in your life. You're not going to comprehend. You're not going to understand. But Scripture is so bold to tell us, do not lean to your own understanding. When God begins to work in your life, sometimes you feel like the devil's after you. You say, Pastor, pray for me. The devil's after me. No! No! I want to tell you the person who's after you. It is God. He wants more of Jesus Christ in your life. And He's after you. And you know why God is working in you? And why all these hardships are happening in your life? It is all about becoming the man or woman God has called you to be. Holy, pure, full of the power of the Holy Spirit. Bold and excited about following Him. When you and I boast about our strength, we get the credit. And we keep going under our own head of steam. But when we boast in what God is doing in the midst of our brokenness, inability, and inadequacy, Christ comes to the front. His strength comes to our rescue. He is honored and He is glorified. Folks, it's not about us. It never was and never will be. It's all about Jesus Christ our Lord. Do not miss that point. The very things we dread and run from in our lives are precisely what brought contentment to Paul's life. Look at the list. I am content when I lose. I am content when I'm weak. I am content with insults. I am content when I'm slandered. I am content in distresses. I am content with persecutions. Listen, I am content with difficulties and pressures that are so tight I can hardly turn around. You know why? Because when I am weak, then I am strong. But what is God after in the church today? What good can possibly come out of this pandemic? Well, there's a work that God is interested in doing, and He's doing it right now in your lives. At the time of salvation, let me break this down. Scripture teaches us that something changes immediately. What is that? 2 Corinthians 5:17 says it. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone. Behold, the new is here. However, there's one thing that does not change immediately in our lives. Do you know what that is? A character. We come to church with the same character. It doesn't change right away. So what is God interested in? What work is done in our character? Here's the word, sanctification. What God is interested in is your sanctification. Romans 15, 14 through 16 says this, I myself am convinced, my brothers and sisters, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with knowledge and competent to instruct one another. Yet I have written you quite boldly on some points to remind you of them again, because of the grace God gave me to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles. He gave me the priestly duty of proclaiming the gospel of God so that the Gentiles might become an offering acceptable to God. And look how he finishes it. Sanctified by the Holy Spirit. There it is. The Holy Spirit has his yellow hard hat on and is working sanctification in your life. He is interested in your character and in your faith and your sanctification. Now, this pandemic can produce things in our lives if we let it. Romans 5, 1 through 4 says this, and notice I'm getting my answers right from scriptures. I will never share my opinion with you. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. And we boast, there goes that word again, in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, here's the part that's difficult to hear, but we also glory in our sufferings. You know, you could do that only through the Holy Spirit. Glory in our sufferings. Why? Because we know that suffering produces, here it is, perseverance, and perseverance, character, and character, hope. Those are the things that God is looking for in your life. Perseverance, character, and hope. The pandemic should produce perseverance, and then character, and then hope. What it doesn't say it should produce is depression, fear, or anxiety. Those tools that the enemy uses doesn't belong to us. God is interested in our spiritual production, our spiritual fruit. Suffering produces godly things in our lives that can never be fruitful any other way. So we continue. God right now is purifying and cleansing his house. Silver and gold have value, but cannot be used until they are purified. The removal of the dross. The impurities that abide within us. Proverbs 25:4 says this, remove the dross from the silver, and out comes material for the silversmith. The Holy Spirit is the silversmith. But it continues. Malachi 3:3 says, he will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men who will bring offerings in righteousness. Most of the unusable material is removed when it's put into the pot. The purpose of the heat, and this is part of the pandemic too, is to loosen the metal, to loosen the things that are not pleasing to God, to remove the dross that mars the beauty of the metal and will float to the surface when stirred. How many understand that it is the Holy Spirit that's stirring the pot? There was this town council who asked a sculptor to build something beautiful in their town because they've been in existence for 50 years. They're about to do a great celebration. So since it was like a cowboy town, he decided to make a beautiful horse. He worked tireless hours and days to accomplish such a task in a big cement block that he had. When he was done, he covered the sculpture until the next morning of the celebration. When the town got together the next day, the town came for the unveiling, and it was done. When they unveiled it, it was a masterpiece, and it had every detail imaginable for a horse. When asked how he created such a masterpiece, his answer was simple. I just chipped away and cut anything that did not look like a horse. How many understand that God is chipping away anything in your life that does not look like Jesus? But listen to this. 1 Peter 1:7. What is precious to God in his people through this pandemic? What is God looking for in the church today? Here's the verse, 1 Peter 1:7. These trials are only to test your faith, to show that it is strong and pure. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Now here's the part now. And your faith is far more precious to God than mere gold. It's your faith, folks. What God is looking for, he's not looking for money, talent, or gifts. He's not looking for any of those things as number one. What God considers more precious than gold and silver is your faith. Is your faith. How much do you believe in God's word? How much do you believe in what you hear from God's word? How do you get faith? Scripture is very simple. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing the word of God. That's where faith comes from. And God is looking for faith in your life. During this test you are experiencing, are you showing your faith? Are you showing that you are strong and pure? Your faith is being tested with fire. Are you letting it purify you? You heard this said before, you won't have a testimony if you never have a test. God is a teacher. His lessons are challenging. His tests are difficult. His methods are predictable. But the education is priceless. A.W. Tozer, once again, he said this, God never uses anyone greatly until he tests them deeply. Can somebody say ouch with me? It takes no faith to walk in the power of the flesh. It is impossible to walk in the spirit apart from our faith. Faith is the gift God gave to us in order for us to taste of the heavenly before we get there. What we do with it is up to us. We need to be useful to the master, prepared to do any good work, Scripture says, during this time. We need to ask Jesus what his disciples asked of him. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. God is looking for holy people. Are you leading a holy life during this time? Can people say of you, wow, I know what they're going through, but yet they're still following Jesus? The chancellor of the University of Glasgow introduced one day to the young men of that university God's missionary, David Livingstone. When Livingstone stood up and walked to the front of the platform to speak to a group of university men, the students looked at him earnestly. They saw his hair burn crisp under the torrid tropical sun. They saw his body wasted and emaciated from jungle fever. They saw his right arm hanging limp at his side, destroyed by the attack of a ferocious African lion. When the students looked at Livingstone, they stood up with one accord in awe and in silence before God's missionary. Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. My grandmother was about 85 years old. I was driving her home a few years ago in New York City. She had a blockage in her heart. She could hardly walk. So we parked. I looked at her and said, Grandma, I'm going to pray for God to heal you. She gave me one of the greatest sermons I could ever hear. You know what I'm talking about? And she said this to me. Don't pray that God may heal me, but pray that I may persevere to the end. She lived another 15 years. God took her home at 100. Sometimes when I Let me wind down. Sometimes when you wonder why you can't hear God's voice during your trials, remember, the teacher is always quiet during the test. We're going to pray in a moment, but I'm going to do something different. I feel the Holy Spirit was leading me to do. I'm going to ask everyone to come up. Praise Him, you can come up. I'm going to ask everybody to come up. Just stand up in front of me. Everyone, just come up. I'm going to tell you my prayer for the church today, which is my greatest desire for the church. To restore our own awness and wonder of the Lord God Almighty once again in the church. When we come through those doors, we have to be in awe that God's presence is right here in our midst. It's time to pray for endurance. It's time to pray that the Holy Spirit may help us pass the test. And here's why I'm going to pray for you this morning. For renewed power of the Holy Spirit. I'm right in front of the line. I need that too. Your pastor needs that. All the leaders need that. We all need that. We're just as human as you are. And we rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. Scripture says this in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 9. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all-surpassing power is from God and not from us. We are hard-pressed on every side, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not abandoned. Struck down, but not destroyed. That's us. That's God's people. Now you can go on your knees if you can right now, because I'm going to plead to God for you. As we pray together, you can go on your knees, you can stand, whatever. But we're going to pray a mighty prayer. Father God, you put this message in my heart for your people. We hear you loud and clear. But Lord, at the same time we confess how much we need you. Please forgive us when we have doubted, when we have complained, when we toss things aside, when we've even questioned you. Please forgive us. I pray for a new empowerment of God's Holy Spirit upon your people right now. We want to be like those five virgins who they had their oil all full and ready for your second coming. The anointing of your Holy Spirit rests upon your people like never before, oh God. We need your help. We need your power. We need your hand of favor upon us. We can't do it without you, Lord. Please come upon us like never before. May we feel the power from head to toe right now in our bodies, in our spirits. Shake us, Lord. Shake us loose from the dross. Shake us loose from all our stubbornness, Father God. Be merciful to us because your mercies are new every morning. Great, great, great is your faithfulness to us. So help us to be faithful back to you. Help us to honor your name. May your name be on our lips. May we be those lights you have caused us to be here to this world. May this church, Father God, not have any more room for one more chair in here, oh God. Fill this place with your glory, with your power. May people come here, not because of the preaching, not because of the worship, but because they have found out that your glory shows up. Do the miraculous. Pastor Kenny Carl, I just feel my heart to come. Just come up here. We're going to pray for you in a mighty way. And I'm going to anoint you with oil because that's what God has asked me to do. Come on up here. Folks, it's not easy being a pastor. The work is hard. It's long, and we don't get a rest. So I thank God your pastor's going on vacation. How many understand that the Holy Spirit never goes on vacation? So I want you to extend your hand out to your pastor and his wife. Love this couple, Lord. Sometimes we run out of steam, Lord. But you're so faithful to us. Thank you for Carla and Pastor Kenny, the things they have gone through physically or mentally, emotionally. But Lord, you have never, never, never left their side. I said I loved them, but Lord, you loved them more. God, you gave your son, Jesus Christ. They remember the day you called them to do this work. But Lord, we also remember that without you, they can't do it. So now I pray that while they're on vacation, they may get so close to you like never before in their life and closer to each other. Bless them with physical strength, spiritual, mental, emotional strength, that they, when they come back like full of fire, full of passion, full of endurance, full of your Holy Spirit. Bless them beyond their expectation. Bless them beyond what they could ever imagine. And thank you, Lord, that you have called this couple. You have raised them up. Use them mightily continually, Father God. And continue to do your mighty work in their midst. Thank you, O Lord, for mighty men and women of God standing in front of me. Bless them. We love them. We appreciate them. In Jesus' powerful name we pray and ask you. Amen. People of God, give them an applause.